Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi, Senior General Manager, Investor Relations for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q3 FY25 results conference call for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the Q&A, we'll review the overall performance of the company for the third quarter of FY25. In Q3 FY25, Glenmark's consolidated revenue from operations was at rupees 33,876 million, as against rupees 25,067 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording an overall YOY growth of 35.1%. For nine months of FY25, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at rupees 1,655 million, as against rupees 87,501 million, recording a YOY growth of 15%. We'll cover each of the regions in a little bit more detail, starting with India. Sales from the formulation business in India for the third quarter of FY25 were at rupees 10,637 million, as against rupees 2,658 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording a growth of about 300%. The India business contribution in this quarter was 31.4% to the overall revenue. In terms of our overall secondary sales, Glenmark continues to outperform the Indian pharmaceutical market in terms of YOY growth. As per IQVIA, Glenmark's India formulation business recorded a growth of 9.6% in Q3 of FY25 and 12.3% as per MAT December 2024, compared to the overall market growth of 7.2% in Q3 and 7.4% in MAT, respectively. Glenmark continued to perform well in its overall in its key therapeutic areas, particularly in dermatology and cardiac. Glenmark's India business is now ranked 13th with a market share of 2.23% as per IQVIA MAT December 2024 data. The company added one brand to the IPM Top 300, so we now have 10 brands in the IPM Top 300 brands. And in terms of our key therapeutic areas, we are ranked second in dermatology, third in respiratory, and fifth in the cardiac segment as per the IQVIA MAT December data. So obviously, we have improved our market share in some of these key therapeutic areas as well, some of which has been provided in the MD&A. We have some key launches in the last few quarters in our key therapeutic areas, products like Lirafit, which we launched as the first biosimilar of liraglutide. It has seen good traction in the market post-launch. We are also planning to launch other GLP-1 agonists in the near future. And in the dermatology segment, we launched Jabryus, which is abrocitinib. This is in partnership with Pfizer. It's an oral systemic treatment for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. And again, this product has also been received well by dermatologists. We also have two oncology products which we had partnered with BeiGene, tislelizumab and zanubrutinib. We'll be responsible for locally required development, registration, and distribution of these products in India. And Glenmark plans to launch these products over the next three to four months once we receive the required regulatory approvals. In terms of our consumer care business in India, primary sales for the GCC business in Q3 was rupees 566 million with a YOY growth of 13%. The company's flagship brand, Candid Powder, gained market share as per IQVIA data, and our brand market share now is at 55%. In the third quarter, the scalp portfolio also delivered robust growth, as well as La Shield, which delivered growth of 13.5% as per IQVIA MAT December data. Moving on to North America, the North America business recorded revenue in Q3 of rupees 7,813 million, for the third quarter, as against ₹7,705 million for the third quarter of FY24, which translates into a YOY growth of 1.4%. For the third quarter of FY25, North America business contribution was at 23.1%. Glenmark US business continued to remain challenging due to lack of meaningful launches during the quarter. However, the company expects an uptick in the business, particularly from FY26 onwards, on the back of potential launches in the respiratory and injectable segments. Glenmark expects to launch some of its respiratory ANDAs from H1 FY26 onwards, and the company continues to augment its commercial portfolio in the meantime through partner product launches to help the business growth in the near term. In the third quarter of FY25, Glenmark launched Travoprost ophthalmic solution and lacosamide oral solution. We filed one ANDA during the quarter and plan to file one more ANDA in the upcoming quarter. We have eight commercial injectable products in the US market. We have also leveraged our strong development skills in the respiratory area. Glenmark has filed two NDAs for generic nasal sprays and is awaiting approval for the same. As well as we mentioned earlier that we have filed the ANDA for generic Flovent 44 MCG MDI in May 2024. Glenmark is also working on filing the other ANDAs for the other two strengths of Flovent, as well as other respiratory products which are currently in the pipeline. Glenmark's marketing portfolio through December 31, 2024 consists of 201 generic products authorized for distribution in the U.S. The company has 51 applications pending at various stages of in the approval process, of which 22 are for applications. Moving on to Europe, Glenmark's Europe operations revenue for the third quarter of FY25 was at ₹7,297 million. As against ₹6,357 million, recording a YOY growth of 14.8%. Europe business contributed 21.5% to the total revenues in the third quarter of FY25. The branded business in Europe, in Glenmark's European operations, continued its trajectory driven by sustained growth across all key markets. Overall, CE region did face some challenges due to seasonality. However, Ryaltris particularly has done really well. It continues to gain market share across the countries where the product has been launched. And branded respiratory portfolio in the Western European business also has sustained its growth momentum, with key brands like Ryaltris, Salmex continuing to sustain and gain their market share in terms of value and volume. Glenmark is now ranked 13th in the generic market of Germany as per the IQVIA data. Going forward, we continue to focus on sustaining the increased contribution from branded products and branded markets in Europe. Glenmark is awaiting approval of four respiratory products which were filed in Q4 FY23. Recently, the company announced that it has received approval from the MHRA to market Winlevi in the UK. The company is planning to launch Winlevi in the UK as well as the select markets of Europe in FY26. Moving on to the ROW region, which consists of Russia, CIS, Latin America, MEA region, and the Asia-Pacific countries. For the third quarter of FY25, revenue from the ROW region was ₹7,491 million, as against ₹7,271 million for the corresponding quarter last year, recording a YOY growth of 3%. For the third quarter of FY25, the ROW business contributed 22.1% to the overall sales. The reported growth for the ROW region during the quarter was impacted due to the adverse currency movements in some of the key markets. As per IQVIA MAT December data, Glenmark's Russia business recorded secondary sales growth of 16.6%. Ryaltris sustained its momentum and gained further share during the quarter in the Russian market. In dermatology, Glenmark demonstrated strong growth of 20%+ in value versus the overall retail market growth of around 16% as per the IQVIA data. Glenmark continues to be ranked 9th amongst the dermatology companies in Russia, as well as 2nd amongst the companies present in the respiratory expectorant market in the Russian country. For Latin America, the respiratory portfolio continued to be a key growth driver. Glenmark launched the first salmeterol-fluticasone MDI in the Brazilian market in Q1. The product has done well post-launch. The company also received approval for salmeterol-fluticasone DPI in Mexico, and Ryaltris was also launched in Mexican market in Q2 and since has gained share in that country. In the Middle East Africa region, the company continues to achieve good secondary sales growth in key markets. Vierma continues to be ranked second in Kenya, and Ryaltris, which is a major product in the South African market, continues to be the leading nasal spray for allergic rhinitis there. In the Asia region, key markets like Malaysia and Sri Lanka recorded double-digit growth. Ryaltris continued to drive, the significant outperformance in the Australian market. And we have some new product launches in dermatology and respiratory, which will contribute to growth in the upcoming quarters. Quickly covering some of our key global brands, so we talked about Ryaltris. As of December 24, marketing applications for Ryaltris have been submitted in more than 90 countries, and the product has been commercialized in 43 markets. Further, we expect to launch in another 12 to 15 additional markets over the next few quarters. As per the IQVIA data, Ryaltris has seen robust performance in terms of value and unit market shares, particularly in some of the markets we covered during the earlier part of the commentary. Glenmark's commercial partner in the U.S., ICMA, recorded decent performance on a YOY basis in the third quarter. Menarini, Glenmark's partner in the European region, has also witnessed steady increase in market share across its licensed markets. The product also does well in the South Korean market, where Yuan Corporation, our partner, is marketing on our behalf. And Glenmark's partner in mainland China, Grand Pharmaceuticals, expects to receive the product approval sometime in FY26. So moving on to Envafolimab, we had announced earlier in Jan 2024 the signing of a licensing agreement with Jiangsu Alphamab and 3DMed for Envafolimab for India and the ROW regions. Envafolimab is already marketed in China. It has already been included in the list of breakthrough therapies by the Chinese regulatory agency. And Envafolimab is, along with its key indication of being a PD-L1 for treatment of adult patients with previously treated MSI-high biomarker, Envafolimab is also being investigated in clinical trials for additional oncology indications like non-small cell lung cancer. Glenmark plans to file Envafolimab in more than 20 markets in the current year, and the first market launch is expected in FY26. Winlevi, in Q2 we announced the licensing of Winlevi with Cosmo. As mentioned earlier, the company recently announced the approval from MHR in the UK, and we are planning to launch Winlevi in FY26 in some of our licensed markets. Lastly, covering IGI and ICMA's Glenmark Innovation features a robust pipeline of three innovative oncology molecules targeting multiple myeloma, AML, and some solid tumors. Two of the molecules have received orphan drug designation. In addition, IGI also has two autoimmune disease assets that have been outlicensed to companies, which ISB-880, which has been outlicensed to Almiral, and ISB-830, which has been outlicensed to Astria Therapeutics. In terms of ISB-2001, this is a tri-specific antibody for oncology and immunology. It is a BCMA CD38 tri-specific T-cell engager that targets all the three biomarkers to harness the body's immune system against cancer. It is amongst the first tri-specific antibodies developed for use in multiple myeloma. It received orphan drug designation in July 2023 from the US FDA. The phase 1 trial, first-in-human trial for relapsed refractory multiple myeloma, was initiated in November 23. That's when the first patient was dosed. The trial is now active across centers in the US, Australia, and India. Dose escalation is currently underway. In December 24, we announced first-time data presentation at the American Society of Hematology Conference in San Diego. The oral presentation was circulated to the investors as well, and it detailed out the dose escalation part of the study. ISB-2001 has shown a very favorable safety profile with a very strong efficacy, overall response rate of 83%, along with 22% complete response or better and 50% very good partial response. The overall response rate was 75% in patients with pre-treated with CAR-T or bispecific T-cell engagers, and 80% of our patients remain on the treatment at the time of the data cutoff. IGI has initiated partnering discussions post the ASH conference, and the company aims to conclude a partnership in calendar year 2025. Further data from the phase 1 dose escalation study will also be presented at the American Society of Clinical Oncology ASCO conference in June 2025. Before we start the Q&A, just a quick update on the notes to the results. Forex gain in this quarter was 23 crores, which was recorded in other income. R&D expenditure in Q3 was around 225 crores, roughly 6.6% of sales for Q3. Investment in IGI was USD 13.8 million. The total asset addition to the block during the quarter was 143 crores, of which tangible asset addition was around 72 crores. And intangible asset addition was around 71 crores. In terms of working capital at the end of December 24, inventory was at rupees 3,090 crores, receivables was at rupees 2,914 crores, and payables was at rupees 2,212 crores. Net debt for the period ended December 24 was at rupees 109 crores. We have the management of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals on the call today, Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ashish Mukirwar, Group Vice President and Head of Corporate Strategy. With that, we can open the call for Q&A. Over to you, Lizanne.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question? May please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question on India business. So in some of the key therapies, you have definitely grown much better than the market. But just want to check your diabetes profile seems, the growth profile for diabetes seems weaker than the market. So can you explain what is happening there and how should we look at this?
Sure. So let me just talk about the entire India business, right? And then I'll come specifically to your question on diabetes, right? So if I look at our India business, right, we started the year by guiding to around 1,100 crores per quarter, which is about a 9-10% growth, right? If I look at the first half, we did exceedingly well. We outperformed those numbers, right? And Q3, we've seen some slowdown in the respiratory space, but I think on a full year basis, right, we are pretty confident that we'll be able to meet our guidance, right, or for the India business. If I look at specifically each of the segments, cardiovascular, dermatology continue to exceedingly well. Respiratory, acute respiratory, we've seen some slowdown, although we are growing faster in the chronic area. And diabetes, we've had some challenges in terms of stock levels for Lirafit, but every month we're getting better in terms of the supply of Lirafit. So I think Lirafit, once we come into full supply, which should be in the month of, in this month or next month, in this quarter, then, you'll see the diabetes growth coming back, right? The other thing to keep a watch out for is obviously once the GLP-1s, this is the first GLP-1, but once the subsequent assets come to market, that will further enhance our diabetes sales. So across the four therapeutic areas that we operate in India, and of course oncology, we're looking at a good FY26 primarily because of the Beijing products, tislelizumab and zanubrutinib, which should contribute pretty significantly to the oncology business in India. So these five segments will continue to do well for the company going forward.
Thanks, Glenn. But the stock level problem which you mentioned for Lira, it's specific to that particular product, and in other part of the portfolio, how's the performance? Because market has grown, right? But you seem to be in...
So in diabetes, we've traditionally had two molecules, remogliflosin, right, with the new remogliflozin and teneligliptin with the new DPP-4s and SGLTs that have come into play, right? We've lost some share on both these molecules, but some of it has been offset with the launch of Lirafit, and Lirafit continues to do well. So I think across the board, the segment continues to do well and will continue to grow every year from here on.
Okay, got it. My second question is on your U.S. business. So, again, if you can share the status of Monroe plant, because I guess we have been waiting for like quarter after quarter, but if you can share the latest status, that would be helpful.
So, let me start with just giving a broad overview on the U.S. business, right, before I go to Monroe. So, if I look at the U.S. business, right, I mean, every quarter things are getting better. I mean, I think Q4, we have some interest from some good launches, which will ensure that we have Q-on-Q growth in the fourth quarter. If I look out to FY26, we have two major launches in the first half of FY26. One is, of course, Fluticasone 44, MDI, right, Flonase, where we believe we have an exclusive position. We also have Fluticasone nasal spray, right, getting launched in first half of FY26. Both these are very big products, so should contribute pretty significantly to the growth. In addition, we have the other strengths of Fluticasone MDI getting filed in FY26 and one other respiratory MDI product getting filed in FY26. I mean, all this put together, right, in FY27, if you see, you know, the market potential of this entire franchise, right, the filings and the launches we're doing this year, you're looking at almost a $600-700 million of franchise coming to market in FY27. In addition, you know, we have three sole 180 day exclusivities slash 180 day first to file slash exclusivities coming up in FY27 and 28, which is another $800 million market. So, I mean, the next 2-3 years, FY26, 27, and 28 should be strong years for the U.S. business. Now, with that backdrop, Monroe, we are still waiting for the FDA to come in and inspect us at Monroe, but we continue to take batches and we continue to file some of our products out of Monroe. So, and these are mostly injectables, complex injectables. So I think longer term, given the geopolitical situation, I mean, we think Monroe should have a significant benefit, right, as we go forward. So it's only a matter of time. We think Monroe should pay back and start playing out as we go forward.
And when did you have your last communication with the FDA regarding Monroe plant?
So we did a meeting with them. I think it was a couple of months ago. And since then, we send in constant updates to them on the status of our remediation.
Okay, Glenn, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants on the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Glenn, on ISB 2001, you know, is there any more update post you know, the ASH data that you presented? And how should we look at this asset now going forward?
So clearly ISB 2001 is a super exciting product, right, and has the ability to be a transformational asset for Glenmark and probably, you know, the entire multiple myeloma space, right, given the data we put out at ASH. And subsequent to that, you know, we've opened partnering discussions. So we were at JPM. We did a number of meetings with a lot of companies, and there is tremendous amount of excitement about the potential of this asset. So we are clearly on course to finding a partner to drive ISB 2001. So I mean, we've given ourselves till the end of this year, but it could be earlier. But there is a tremendous amount of interest in the asset from a partnering perspective. And the trial continues. I mean, we continue, dosing patients. We are hoping to start the dose expansion cohort in the next 3 to 6 months. So I think that that process continues. So we'll have a significant number of patients before the end of this year. We'll have an update at ASCO on ISB 2001. So the rest of the process continues.
And from a partnering perspective, then are there any specific data points which are make up the data points that incrementally that you are awaiting? Or how should I award it? Yeah.
Go ahead, Nitin.
So I'm saying, so is there any trigger or anything, any milestone that will probably enable or accelerate the whole licensing part? I mean, what will take licensing to go through or not go through from here?
So we don't think that we are waiting on anything as of now, Nitin. So it's only, I think it's all procedural from here, right? So we've just opened discussions in Jan. So it's going through the process, right?
I mean, the point I was trying to ask is the data that you've got so far is enough for us to conclude the deal?
Yes, it is.
So how should one think about now, depending on when the licensing happens on the innovation R&D spend for us going forward?
Our view is FY26 will be the last year where Glenmark will have to put capital into IGI. I mean, IGI, given the partnering interest that we are seeing and the excitement around the asset, we're pretty confident that we'll be able to close a deal which will fund IGI going forward, and then the long-term goal for IGI is then to IPO the company in the US. So that's the journey for IGI. So we believe F26 will be the last year of investment into IGI from Glenmark.
Thanks. And secondly, on the balance sheet, there has been this build-up of net working capital again. I think we are a little away from what we guided to at the start of the year for F25. So, Manisha, any thoughts on that? Where should we end the year at? And what is driving this increase right now?
Yeah, sure. So, Nitin, we had already, in the beginning of the year, we did sort of guide that the working capital will go up. And some of the working capital items are pretty much close to what the industry levels are. In this quarter, obviously, there is some increase in the inventory based on the, we already read out the numbers. So we had to buy some, as you know, we had also earlier discussed about some critical launches coming up in the next couple of quarters. So we had to build up some inventory for that. So Nitin, I expect it to sort of normalize in the coming quarter and the first quarter. So I think broadly that will help us to sort of improve our working capital.
And so if you could remind us what working capital day should we work with as a sustainable number?
So maybe last quarter we were at about 90 plus. So I think those are the levels at which I would expect to be there. Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly on, you mentioned about the fluticasone NDI. When are you looking at an approval? What's your assessment on when does approval come through for that for the first scan?
So we've given ourselves till H1, Nitin. It could be earlier right, but H1 is when we anticipate first half of next year, right? 44, fluticasone 44 will get approved.
Okay. And last one on the Glenn for the guidance of the year, on we lucky tracking a little below on the EBITDA number, EBITDA percentage number that we had earlier.
Yeah. I'll take that, Nitin. So obviously, we are almost at about 18% for the 9 months so far. And as we had already sort of given during our commentary that we had some currency hits during the third quarter especially. If we adjust for that, we would be close to 19%. So we almost had about 71 crores coming out of some of the emerging markets, in LATAM and also in South Africa, etc., and Russia as well. So I think if we were to take for that, we should be close to what we guided in the beginning of the year. Also, our turnover is also at about 10,000 plus crores, so Q4 is generally a good quarter, so we should close to be about 3,500. So I think broadly we would be able to meet the numbers that we gave you, and barring for this, adjusting for some of the currency.
Okay. Thank you.
So on the full year, Nitin, we will hit both, you know, the our top line as well as EBITDA guidance, right, adjusted for currency.
Secondly, one last one, Mahesh. On the overhead staff cost, other expenses, there has been a reasonable control which has come through in the first 9 months in terms of YOY growth. I mean, do we expect, I mean, these are now more sort of sustainable trends on these overhead increases?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I told you, even in the last quarter, it slightly the other expense picked up. But I did tell you that full year would be about 27%, and broadly we are there only. We are not going to exceed that. And obviously, expenses don't happen. Sometimes a little bit comes here and there in terms of how you want to do sales marketing, but I very much see it where it is.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish from JM Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Is there any update on respiratory and injectable segments for the U.S. market, especially you guys are there on the ground? Any update regarding the tariff discussions possibly in the U.S. market?
So respiratory, I have pretty much given you the roadmap, right? Between the three fluticasones, you know, fluticasone 44, 110, and 220 put together is almost $500 million. You know, in addition, you have fluticasone nasal spray, which can be a substantial product, and we have one more respiratory MDI filing this year, which is another $200 million product. So I think we are on a good track to get these five or six key respiratory launches right over the next few years. On the injectable side, you know, Monroe, you know, we are continuing to file products, we're continuing to take batches, and we have some exciting filings going out this year and next year out of Monroe. We're just waiting for the FDA to come in and audit us in the interim. So these two segments, we continue to move forward nicely as a company. We also, in the near term, especially in Q4, you should see some good in-licensing products coming to market. You know, we have some good launches coming up in Feb and in March, which should help this quarter partially, but help the next quarter in a significant manner. So I think all in all looks pretty good. As far as the tariffs go, it's extremely hard to predict for anyone. What we've heard is that some of these are getting postponed, but it's extremely hard to predict how this will all play out in the long run.
Fair enough. And any update on the entire GLP-1 category? You did mention about one of the biosimilar launches. But going forward from a 2 to 3 years perspective, as in when the GLP market in India opens up, how are we positioned? Any update on will be very helpful.
So Lira, in the GLP-1, Liraglutide, Lirafit, Glenmark was the first to launch the GLP-1 in India, right? Injectable GLP-1. And we are well positioned to also launch semaglutide injectable and eventually oral also. So I think, although I think it will be a crowded market, I think, you know, we are well positioned to launch the products in India.
And how about in terms of integration? Obviously, we might be sourcing the drug substance and other products, other fill finish opportunities from the other parties. But in terms of the MR, the field force, our front end, would we have to deploy incremental capital or resources?
We already, at Glenmark, we already have a strong diabetes franchise, right? So we won't need any additional resources. So we have all the necessary capabilities to commercialize these products.
Yeah, fair enough. And lastly, obviously adjusted for currency, you did mention that 18-19% EBITDA margin run rate that we are already clocking. But going into FY26, with India coming back, US also many launches coming into picture. Any guidance on EBITDA margins you would like to give?
Yeah. So if you recollect, even during our investor presentation, we had said that year on year we expect a 1 to 1.5% improvement. So I think things go well, we should definitely, with these critical launches that we expect to come through, we expect to be improving by a percentage and a percentage half.
Fair enough. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Glenn, I heard your commentary on domestic business, but I'm afraid I'm not fully...
Kunal, can you speak a bit louder? We're not able to hear you.
Yeah, sure. I hope this is better.
Much better. I
heard your commentary on the domestic business, but I'm not completely sure I fully understand this. See, the IQVI growth was around 9.5% for Q3, while your reported growth, I mean, reported would be on a decline, I guess, right, on a year-on-year basis. So why such a big delta? And even after I were to assume the primary sales were higher in H1, that still does not explain such a big delta. So if you can just...
So Kunal, as I said, look, we had guided to 1100 crores in the beginning of the year, right, which is a 9-10% growth. If you see the 9 months, we are at 6.3% growth. Okay. Yes, Q3 was a soft quarter for us, right, and we discussed it primarily because of acute respiratory, which is a big part of Glenmark's portfolio, okay, right, and we had a very good H1, right. So I think, you know, we will meet our guidance, right, of 9-10% and the 1100 crores per quarter on an average, right, that we've guided towards.
But then how would 4Q pan out? Because if I were to assume you'd be around 4,400 for the full year, last quarter would be what, around 900, I guess, right? Which would be what, flat to slight declining?
It could be better than that. Look, this is what we guided at the beginning of the year, right, Kunal? That's the way to think about it, right? We could definitely be better than that. We will be better than that.
Sure. Okay, got it. Secondly, on Indore plant, just can you talk a bit more about the observations and how critical this plant is in terms of revenue, contribution and outstanding findings?
Sure. So I think, you know, the Indore plant got audited after 6 years, right? It's been a long time since we got audited. We had a very thorough inspection, you know, from the agency. There were no DI observations, we're pretty confident we'll be able to address the observations. So I think from a revenue perspective, it probably around 25% or 25-30% of total US revenues comes from there, from that facility.
Sure. And in terms of outstanding findings?
We have probably about 4 or 5 outstanding findings, but none of the products I mentioned are coming from Indore.
So it's more of our the base OSD portfolio that's essentially filed from Indore. So we have some 4 or 5 odd pending filings from there in the more near term. But none of the respiratory products or the injectable ones are coming out of Indore.
So the injectable one would be from Nagpur, right?
Injectable is from Monroe.
It's from, okay, all right. Got it. Thank you and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Anil Shah from Insightful Investments. Please go ahead.
No, most of my questions are made answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is on the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead. Tushar, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Sir, just with respect to generic flow, and just want to understand if we have additional query here.
No, we've responded to all the deficiencies from the agency, and we're waiting for them to respond.
So, has this happened recently, and that's the reason why the approval is sort of indicated in first half, FY26?
I can't give more visibility than that. We've responded to everything. We're just waiting on the agency for the approval.
So secondly, on these three products which you highlighted about, you know, FTF 180-day exclusivity, where are we in terms of filing approval cycle for these products?
So to the best of my knowledge, all the three are tentatively approved and are ready to get launched.
Okay. So, so there's no litigation angle to these products?
No, they've all been settled.
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bino Patiparampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Glenn. Just a follow-up from the previous question. There is this product, Axitinib, or Inlyta brand name, in which you have a tentative approval, and I believe you are one of the first to file. So are you the first to file, and is that a launch we can expect in the next 1 or 2 years?
You know, I cannot comment on the status of Axitinib, but clearly we will, you know, you will see us launching this product as we go forward.
In the next 12 to 24 months or beyond that?
I can't give you any visibility around that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking a follow-up. Glenn, on the respiratory business, barring the set of filings you talked about for this year, both on the generic, I mean, can you give us more color on how is the, is there anything more from a pipeline perspective in respi for the US?
Nitin, we are constantly working on respiratory being a focus area for us, right? I think our current focus is, even if we can get these products approved, Nitin, I mean, you can imagine the kind of sales potential, right? Between the three strengths of Flovent, right? $500 million market, the one extra MDI we are filing this year, another $200 million, and the nasal sprays put together. So you're looking at a very large market potential. So I think even if we're able to get all these approved, the next 3 years should look very strong on the respiratory side for us.
Which I entirely get, Glenn. I'm just curious, is there more beyond this? Because I mean,
of course, we are working, Nitin, right, on the next set of products, right? But, I mean, right now, we can't give any visibility.
Yeah, more near-term opportunities, obviously, we have outlined here.
And secondly, if you can just give us a little more color on how Ryaltris is faring, any sense on the size it has got to? I mean, what size are you spending for the year on this?
So Ryaltris, this year we'll be close to about $80 million, right? Second year of launch, right? We're already tracking last quarter is almost $19-20 million of sales. So almost an $80 million product for us. And we still, next year, we still have some major markets to launch next year and the year after that, like Brazil, China, and many more smaller markets where we're still waiting to launch the product. So I think Ryaltris over time, you know, we are pretty much on track to achieving $200-300 million of sales, peak sales over time.
And from an accounting perspective, because I presume a lot of, is there a large proportion of the $80 million which is coming in form of your royalties or profit share? How should one think about that number?
Sorry, come again.
I mean, is there a $80 million on royalties that we're booking? Is it a large chunk of it coming in form of profit share? Which has a lot of more flow through to the business?
No, that's not the case. It's quite stable here. I don't think there is any royalty only. There's no major royalty in that. It's all sale of business. I mean, we have what we have sold to partners or what we are selling directly. In a lot of markets, as you know, we have put our own field force. We have almost launched it now in 43 countries, Nitin. So it's not a question of. So there's no major any royalty or anything in this.
You know, what I really meant is there a much higher margin business overall for us than the as a product?
Yes, it is a better margin product, Nitin. It's because in a lot of geographies, you have launched it ourselves, so that's how it works.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Okay. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi for his closing comments.
Thanks, Lizanne. Before we end the call, we would just like to state that the discussion materials provided during today's call, including the information, statements and analysis made by the company or its affiliates, objectives, projections and estimates of forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts and assumptions that are subject to risk and uncertainties, and actual outcomes could differ materially from these statements depending on the economic conditions, government policies and other factors. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to the discussion and the documents, and it should not be used as by recipients as a substitute for their exercise of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. With that, we can end today's earnings call. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.